As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I spoke to the vice president's team this morning, and they expressed how excited and grateful they were for the opportunity to have met with the Pope just yesterday. And of course, we know the Pope has gone to be with the Lord this morning. And I spoke to the president about that as well. And he has put out a statement to say God bless the Pope and all those who loved him. He touched millions of lives throughout his tenure as the head of the Catholic Church. And so it's a solemn day for Catholics around the world. And we are praying for all those who loved the Pope and believed in him.
Yeah, that was Carolyn Leavitt, of course, White House spokesperson, talking on Fox News just a bit earlier this morning, and given the reaction from President Trump, who just tweeted out on Truth Social, rest in peace, Pope Francis. May God bless him and all who loved him. We just got that a minute ago, and we have Jonathan Savage from Fox News Radio on the phone this morning covering the death of Pope Francis. Jonathan, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, so what is we read something in the Daily Mail earlier that they now believe that the cause of death was not connected to his pneumonia. Have you heard about that?
Nothing official has been announced. I mean, we know that he was 88 years old and he was very frail and had been ill for some time. And he'd recovered well enough from the double pneumonia that he did have that he was able to return to the Vatican after 38 days in the hospital and continue some level of work as Pope, some level of public engagement, some level of private engagement. But yesterday, he was clearly not a very well man, as Vice President J.D. Vance said, having spent some time with him. Just having said that, the fact that he was well enough to make an appearance on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica and then travel around St. Peter's Square means that his death, the announcement of his death this morning, does come, I'm sure, for many people as something of a shock.
It surprised me a little bit to see him making these appearances, including yesterday, though I'm sure people are happy to see him, especially given what happened today. But I thought after that 5-week hospitalization for double pneumonia, he was basically prescribed 2 months of rest and recovery. And I thought at that point he was supposed to be staying out of the limelight, kind of.
Yes, but I think that Pope Francis was not a man who found staying out of the limelight. Well, maybe for there's a better word for that.
Right.
He found that particularly easy. I mean, he wanted to do the job, essentially. He wanted to be Pope. He wanted to be visible as Pope. And he wanted to be able to carry out as many duties as possible. It was obviously a great passion of his to be able to get up close and personal with as many members of the public all over the world as he could through the 12 years of his papacy.
He did, Jonathan, over the years, tend to wade into some issues that were rather polarizing, at least much more so than some of his predecessors, right?
Yes, and I think that he upset some of the Catholic Church's more conservative elements with his viewpoint. He reached out to LGBTQ Catholics. He sort of cracked down on more traditional elements of the church, and he spoke up against war. He spoke up against the Israeli government's prosecution of its war in Gaza, and he spoke up to emphasize that, in his view, what the church should be is a place of refuge for people on the fringes of society. He was an advocate for migrants, an advocate for the poor, even an advocate for criminals, for prisoners, and saying that everyone was welcome in his church.
Jonathan Savage with us from Fox News Radio.
Any indication on how long it'll take to choose a new pope? Like, if we're basing it off of how long it's taken in the past, we know the cardinals will be meeting at the Vatican to essentially vote. How long would you anticipate that taking, that process?
The conclave will usually start 15 to 20 days after the death of the Pope, but that is not set in stone. It could happen quicker. With the funeral due to take place at some point over the next week, perhaps they will decide, with all the cardinals already in the Vatican, that there's no time to waste and they should just begin their deliberations. Once the conclave starts, how long that lasts is completely unpredictable. For Pope Francis, they chose him in less than a day. Other popes, maybe 5 days. At one point, way in the distant past, the conclave took 3 years to choose a new pope.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. Yeah. I did see some stories this morning, Jonathan. One final question here about the makeup of the conclave in terms of the number of cardinals that are in there, that this pope had appointed roughly half of them. I mean, I would assume that then could influence who his successor is.
It's easy to sort of think of it as a Supreme Court bench, isn't it? And with a president choosing nominees who he likes, whose opinions he likes. And people may look at the makeup of the conclave and think all these cardinals picked by Pope Francis may well be in his image. You know, we await to see how that shakes out. But of course, there will be a wide variety of views, and there'll be cardinals who have been there for years or more, who have very strong opinions that the church should return to the more conservative doctrines of Pope Benedict, the predecessor to Pope Francis. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. There are people on all sides of the Catholic spectrum who would like to have a say in what the direction of the church should be going forward.
Yeah, very true. Jonathan Savage, Fox News Radio, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Interesting to hear his take on that whole thing. So, on the list of potential replacements, they showed Cardinal Burke, who, if you'll remember, a few years ago kind of fell out of favor because he is one of the more conservative mm-hmm. cardinals. So I was surprised to see his name on the list of Fox had a list of probably 10 people up there. He was on there. Cardinal Dolan's name was not on there. And I mean, I don't think there's never really... This was the first pope from the Americas, from South America. Mm-hmm. There's never been one from the United States. That alone would prevent one of the two of them from being in serious consideration.
Well, and are any of these cardinals vocal about not wanting to be in that role and therefore they're not even under consideration? Maybe Cardinal Dolan, behind closed doors, was saying, you know, look, I'm really not interested in being the pope. I don't want to be considered.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's part of it. Now that we've seen shows like Conclave and others, it probably adds maybe more drama to it than really goes on there. I mean, I don't know what all the politicking is Mm-mm. once they get in there. But somebody pointed out this morning that as these cardinals will come together for this conclave, they're coming from all over the world. Other than the few times they're brought to the Vatican for meetings and things like that, most of them don't know the others very well. So you have to wonder just if the phone lines are burning up around the world between the cardinals trying to lobby for one person or another, mm-hmm. or exactly how that works.
The politics behind it would be very interesting. And you think about the people who are sitting outside the Sistine Chapel just waiting for that white smoke to come out to signal there's been a new pope. Yeah, are there going to be arguments? How long will this take? Did Jonathan say that once they meet, which could be in 15 to 20 days by the time they can gather everyone there at the Vatican, it could be immediate? We're talking a day. And then in some cases, he says way back in the, you know, long ago, it took him, what, 3 years?
Yes.
Highly doubt that would happen.
No,
I would imagine within a week, two at the most, there will be a new pope. That would just be my guess.
Yep, that's probably a good guess. Coming up, we're going to take you live to the front lawn of the White House, or back the back lawn, isn't it? It's the lawn
at the White House.
South lawn, I think, of the White House, where they're doing the Easter egg roll today. And Jessie Jane Duff is out there helping out, and she's still going to do her regularly scheduled appearance right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Mark Cox cannot read. That's the horrifying news story because I looked at the email that Tricia Everding sent me last night and it said Jessie Jane Duff will join us at 8:20. What I failed to read, apparently, and I swear to gosh I'm not dyslexic, I failed to read the word Tuesday in there somewhere. So
right before the 8:20.
Right before the 8:20. So Jessie Jane is actually joining us tomorrow at 8:20 to talk about the fact that today she's at the White House helping out with the Easter egg roll and all that they're doing on the lawn. And for some reason, I just lodged in my brain that she was on this morning at her normal time. And that was my mistake, not anybody else's. So I apologize. They're all looking at me like, "Do you know something we don't? Have you been texting with Jessie Jane? Do you know that she's on this morning?" I'm like, "Well, it said so on the email."
Like, are you sure, Mark? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw Tuesday.
It said Tuesday.
What day is it? What year is it? We're all confused.
It's Monday, and I let me apologize to you for that. Seriously, though, I hate that. I was looking up at the screen here, CBS this morning bragging about their big interview with George Clooney. Must be hard to get an interview with George Clooney.
Well, wait. It's because Gayle King just got back from space. She's a new astronaut. She's really important because of this expedition that she just went on that was very historic. So I think that probably elevated, you know, her status, and therefore maybe he was begging to do a one-on-one interview with her.
They're talking
the newest, one of the newest astronauts here in the United States.
They're talking to George. I would assume he's got a new movie out, but they're also talking to him about speaking truth to power. Of course, a bunch of Democrats hate the fact that he stabbed Biden between the shoulders, right? When he pointed out the fact that we need a new candidate. This guy's not going to get the job done. I've met him. He's a vacant shell of the person he used to be. So now they've got him on there.
Well, you know, I was disappointed in Clooney because, remember, he trotted out there on stage with some of the other bigwigs in Hollywood and was backing Biden. And apparently it was very obvious, even at that time, that the dude was not up to the task. And then it wasn't until that mess of a debate against Donald Trump, where he was just, his eyes were kind of glazed over and he just, his mouth was gaped open. That was when all of a sudden Clooney was like, you know what? Yeah, we need someone new. When all of America, you couldn't deny it. So he did back him up until it became so ridiculously obvious that Clooney would have looked silly trying to say, we have to elect this man. He's qualified. He's ready to go.
Clooney has disappointed me for years as well with his political point of view. Did I tell you my history with Clooney? I don't not
have
really
him?
Have a history with Clooney. His dad.
Oh, no.
His
I don't
dad.
Know
his dad is a guy named Nick Clooney. I don't know if Nick's still alive or not, but when I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, he was the 6 and 11 news anchor at Channel 12, WKRC
in
Cincinnati. Yeah. And I had, I think I met him once when I was down there. And I had a good friend who worked, that I went to high school with, who ended up being a news producer at Channel 12. And she knew them. She knew him, of him. And so.
Doesn't say he's passed away.
No, he's still alive.
It sounds like it.
And his aunt. Nick Clooney's sister was Rosemary Clooney, the singer. So he comes from a long history of performers.
Ooh, he's 91 years old. January 13th is his birthday.
Still hanging in there?
1934.
He ran for Congress at some point as a Democrat in Ohio and didn't win. So after he left TV News, he ran for a political office down there.
What is it about Hollywood and media, for that matter, that in general tends to attract so many left-leaning people? It really, really does dumbfound me.
I honestly believe that too many people went to journalism school for the wrong reason. If you go to journalism school with the attitude that I want to change the world, you're not going there for the right reason. Journalists aren't out there to change the world.
What is the
They're out there to report on what's going on in the world. They're communicators. They're there to hone their skills on how to tell a story fairly and honestly with both sides without their point of view involved in it. And it's what's screwed media these days is all of those people that went to school. Honestly, this is my theory. Maybe I'll put it in a book. Is that these folks went to school during the activist era of the 60s and 70s. These are the people that are now the ones running network news. All of the people that run network news were influenced in that era of journalistic activism where they were going to change the world to their point of view. And therefore, they filter the news through their schism. But they wrap themselves in the journalistic blanket cloak of invisibility. Remember the cloak of invisibility in the Harry Potter movies? They've got one of those. You can be as biased as you want as long as you wrap yourself in your cloak of invisibility. And from the outside, nobody can see how biased you are. But your bias shows through in how you filter the news. That's what's happened in America. Anybody that tells somebody you should go to journalism school and change the world, that's not why you're going to journalism school. It's not. That's not your job.
Well, I don't see a problem with that. I think it depends on maybe how you define that. Because when people say that to me, because I've heard friends say that.
Yes.
I think it's this whole idea, well, I'm going to do something that encourages lawmakers to pass a bill that would then do something positive for the community. So I don't think it's that they're going to have some huge impact, but I think they look at it on the more of a local level, what they can do.
It gets back to the days before I left Channel 4 when you'd walk into a news meeting and there'd be a checklist on the board and you'd give them your story idea. And if it didn't check off one of the boxes, advocacy, investigative, where you're running down the street and chasing somebody with a microphone, they wouldn't let you go do the story. At that point, you've crossed the line from journalism to advocacy. And there's a difference. You can have an I team that goes out and investigates things. Not every news story lends itself to that. And in far too many cases, they've carried that to its extremes. And I think it has damaged the industry. Irreparably, probably. I'm not sure you can ever put that cat back in the bag.
It'd be hard.
Yeah, I think that's problematic for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get Tom Ackerman in here. I watched a little bit of baseball this weekend. I watched more golf than anything else. Of course, I watched the Blues game on Saturday, and that was disappointing. What do they have to do to win in Winnipeg? We'll see what Tommy thinks about it in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Got Tom Ackerman in the studio. Love his beautiful viewpoint on life. I'm like, hey, rough weekend for the St. Louis team. He's like, yeah, it's just sports, he said. Yeah, and we'll all be good.
It's just sports. It's only a multi-billion dollar business.
Yeah, you know.
Who cares? No, I mean, look, in the grand scheme of things, I cannot live my life. And I will sometimes during Indiana basketball season. My mood will swing. Depending on how Indiana plays.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to go through. I mean, I would drive myself crazy if I went through every weekend like, yeah, my life is great because the Cardinals and Blues won, and now I'm disappointed. If the Blues don't win tonight, that camera, I moved that too. Drew Young, our producer here, does such a terrific job. I don't know. It moves on its own. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
You're very tall, Tom, so maybe you just got to point it up a little bit.
I don't know. Maybe so. But, you know, if the Blues don't win tonight, it is not the end of the world. Let me just prep you for that right now. Because regardless of whether you're down 0-2 or if it's 1-1, if it's 1-1, it's amazing because you're coming home and now you're forcing Winnipeg to have to knock you off at home because you will have the advantage. But if you come back 0-2, game three on Thursday night is going to be unbelievable. Whether you lose tonight or not, it'll be an incredible atmosphere. It'll be like a 9 p.m. face-off eventually on Thursday. They say 8:30, but it's really like 8:45, 9 o'clock. It'll be the wildest crowd you've ever heard at Enterprise Center, aside from the Stanley Cup finals, of course, because it's going to be late. It's going to be the first playoff game in 3 years. Everyone will be drinking for hours and hours.
Taking off Friday.
And Friday. Yeah. It's going to be nuts. Okay, so pressure's on Winnipeg to win this game is what I'm telling you. They need to win game two. And I thought the Blues played pretty well in game one, except for that final period. The ice was tilted in Winnipeg's favor, we like to say. They controlled the puck. They didn't let the Blues get the puck. The Blues committed some dumb penalties early in the game. One of them led to a goal by Mark Scheifele in the power play. The other one, Zach Bolduc later. You know, it just takes away your opportunities to score. The biggest problem in that game was the Blues did not have the puck. And when you don't have it, you don't have opportunities to score. They only had 17 shots on goal the entire game. Connor Hellebuck, the best goaltender in the league this year, had to make 14 saves. That's it to win the game. Now, you could look at that and say that's a real problem, or you could say to your team, and this is what I would do, I would say, guys, we had 17 shots on goal, and we almost won the darn game. We're up 3-2 in the third period. Mm-hmm. We need to put the puck on the net and make this guy do some work.
For perspective then, so you're saying 17 shots on goal, what would be typical? So you're saying that's really low.
Yeah, you want to get into the 20s. Okay. I mean, Jordan Binnington made 21 saves. I'd say, you know, get in there. Get 25, 28, 30 shots on this goaltender. Let's go. And the Blues have some scores. They have the ability to do that. But they've got to possess the puck. And, again, they've got to stop with the bad penalties. Jake Neighbors will learn from that. A slashing penalty led to a power play. Zach Bolduc, cross-check after the whistle. You can't do that. I don't care how exciting it is and how intense it is. You have to be disciplined. And the veterans won't do that, I don't think. The young guys did. So you learn from that and you move forward. The Blues are plenty intense. I mean, they hit like crazy. They were hitting everything that moved. But the problem is, again, the reason you're hitting everything is because you don't have the puck.
You're chasing a minute late. Yeah.
You're chasing them. So you're hammering them like crazy, but that's because you don't have it. The Blues need to get the puck and take control of this game tonight, and they can. I mean, they're a really good hockey team that I think, again, pressure on Winnipeg, better not lose this game tonight, because if it comes back to St. Louis 1-1, it is going to be an absolute zoo on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
In downtown St. Louis. It's going to be awesome.
It ought to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the Cardinals?
Man, really, look, the Cardinals just found out what a real contender looks like. New York Mets are going to win the World Series, I think.
Really?
They were my pick at the start of the year. I think the Mets are going to win it all. And the reason I say that is I don't see a team, aside from the Dodgers, who have a 1-2-3 like they do at the start of the order. It's almost impossible to get around. Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto and Pete Alonso. I mean, you just can't get around those three no matter which way you do it. And if you look at the Cardinals, they actually pitch really well. They gave up a late home run to Lindor in the second game of this series, the Friday game. They didn't hit. Cardinals did not come through with the big hits when they needed, and the Mets don't have a problem with that. I mean, the top of their order, and they spent a lot of money on them, but Lindor, Soto, and Alonso. Cardinals don't have those players in their lineup. I've said this over and over. I am feeling much better when I realized that this team is about individuals improving, and if it all works out that the Cardinals suddenly become a contender, great. But if I'm being honest with you, and I have been from the beginning, if I look at this team, I don't see that. I don't see that contender to go to the World Series like the Mets have. They just don't. So why would I get all worked up about it? All I'm going to do is say that's a better team. The Cardinals need to show improvement across their roster. Do I see that happening right now? I did. Now I'm not seeing it as much. Walker, Gorman, Newt Barr. Let's see some of these guys improve and get better as the season goes along and make moves accordingly. In 2026, 2027 should be dynamite once Chaim Bloom takes over and assembles the team that he wants. That's how I see it.
So Battlehawks, not a great weekend for them. I mean, they've been doing well. This was just one loss.
Are they 2-2 now?
They lost, back-to-back games.
I was going to say, I knew they lost one other one.
I like their defense at times. They had a pick six that got the game back tied, but the offense is not very satisfying. And they lost their quarterback, so they started.
He was injured, right?
Yep. So they started Max Duggan, and I don't see the offense that they had under AJ McCarron. I thought that was a fun offense last year. They have a good running back situation. But, they're not moving the ball very well. The Battlehawks are going to host the championship game if they want to get there. So,
They got to want it.
They got to get there and get to the Dome and host that championship game and hope that all works out. And then as for City, scoreless draw. So they're the only one on Saturday that didn't lose. And I actually think it was a really nicely played game by them. I mean, they're very well organized. I thought that they played a really good game against the best team in all of Major League Soccer. Vancouver's the best team. And the frustrating part is they had a goal that was called back again. They had one the week before that was called back because of a phantom offsides that I still don't understand. So this time around, they had one called back against a great defense. Vancouver's got a great defense. And so to just be able to get through them and attack them like they did one-on-one, I thought was good. But they didn't come through with the goal, and it was called back. It's not a bad thing that they played a scoreless draw against the best team in Major League Soccer at all. It should bring confidence to them that their defensive style is elite. Now they have to figure out a way to get goals. Maybe that's just better luck, better health, but somehow, some way they got to figure it out. They've got the defense handled. And by the way, Roman Berkey's coming back. So their goaltending has been fine. Their defense has been fine, even with Berkey out. Now he comes back. He's their superstar, and hopefully they can spark something offensively.
Yeah, it's good. You got a roll?
Not really.
No, you're in good shape.
You want to hang out a little longer?
This might be a silly comment. This is coming from someone who's never played soccer. It's such a big net. Like, I get that you have all the players there trying to get it away so they can't even get a shot, trying to kick it. But it just surprises me that it surprises me that soccer is such a low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm. It gives you respect, doesn't it, for how they play defensively, that they always seem to be in position to keep you.
Yeah.
From kicking into that huge net, because if it is one-on-one, you're pretty much done. I mean, if you look at the PKs, I mean, they're just guessing at that point. They're like, that way. Nope, it's going this way. But if you play soccer and you watch, it really is about strategy not allowing you to get a shot on goal or a decent look at it or a good angle at it. So, it is amazing to watch when you really break it down. You look at the athleticism of those players and how they always seem to be in the right spot most of the time.
You watched Justin Thomas win that golf tournament yesterday?
JT wins for the first time in 3 years.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We were glued to the TV finishing up our leftovers, and it went to overtime, I guess you call it. What do you call it?
Playoff.
Playoff, I'm sorry. And then they played that final hole, and he sunk, what about it?
Yeah.
12-foot putt. It was beautiful.
He's good. And he gave his baby like a little squeeze on the foot as he went by to play that playoff hole. His wife was holding their cute baby. Little baby, and he went up and just for good luck, he did a little
it worked.
Is that the noise? Doot. A little boop on the nose.
Yeah, a little doot. Boop. And then went out there and won. I like JT. He's like a normal guy. I like him a lot. He was the defending champion of the PGA Championship when it was here in St. Louis. So while he didn't win at Belrive, he was the defending champ. So he did all the, you know, press conferences beforehand, helped promote the event here. And so some of us got to, you know, spend a little time with him, and he's really a likable guy.
My nephews liked him because he went to Alabama, apparently. Of course.
He likes the Tide, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Roll Tide.
Tom, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Always great having you.
See you, Tom.
Appreciate that. All right. Quick break. We're back in just a minute. A little eruption doesn't get your blood going on a Monday morning. I'm not sure what will, Kim.
My blood is going, but is probably it? Not oh, for the same reason
on.
As yours.
Edward Van Halen.
I'm stressed out listening to that.
Isn't that awesome?
Is it?
One of the greatest guitar solos of all time. As produced by Edward Van Halen. He used to use that to warm up before we'd go out in concert, and his producer heard it one day and said, we need to put this on an album. And that's how Eruption was born. Did a little trivia for you there.
The more you
know.
You
can use that at the next trivia night you
go to. I will. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, did you hear about this jack wagon in Kansas City that got busted for keying the Teslas, for destroying a couple of Teslas? 19-year-old Boston College student Owen McIntyre, who identifies as a girl, who at first glance might look like a girl until you notice the bulbous Adam's apple that's going on. And the feds have caught Owen at his own game. And now Owen is going away to the big house for a long time. So they tracked down this joker who was home from college on spring break in Kansas City and chose to go to the Tesla dealership and blow up two cars. They've tracked Owen. Here's a picture of Owen if you're watching online. They tracked Owen with witnesses, video evidence, flight records of when he arrived in KC. They found his DNA, proving that he's a man, because it doesn't matter what you think you are, the DNA doesn't lie. They found his DNA on one of the unbroken incendiary devices that he was using to firebomb the Teslas. And his DNA profile on the rag matched the DNA profile on the hat that matched the DNA profile of one male named Owen McIntyre. And they charged him with violating 18 U.S.C. 844, malicious damage and attempted malicious damage by fire of property used in interstate commerce. And they are not going to settle on this case. So Owen, instead of being a college student in Boston, is now going to spend a lot of time getting educated in a different way.
Yeah, well, we hope so, because this is the kind of precedent you have to set so that other people don't try to do the same stuff. If people think there are no repercussions,
absolutely.
It's not much of a deterrent for people to not do it themselves. I mean, my concern is that this guy is going to serve, 6 months and then basically be paroled.
No. I think they could face up to 20 years.
Well, that's very
the
different.
Ones that do
that's
this
very
these
different,
days.
Though, facing up to 20 years, even being sentenced to 20 years versus how much time some of these clowns actually spend in prison.
Well, but I think a lot of that is they do plea deals. They were cutting plea deals with them and letting them off. It's why in the summer of love, before 2020, when large swaths of American cities burned, the prosecutors then didn't go after those people, and none of them ever served any time for it. And now that's not going to be the case. Van Bondi's going to see to it that they answer for this. And little Owen here, who I don't know what name he went by thinking he was a girl, is now going to have to decide what his bunkmate is going to call him in prison.
There are so many young people who are going back and forth saying, I was born a boy, but now I'm a girl, and vice versa. It's like 1 in 5 identify as part of the LGBTQ. Well, you know what? You remember Maury as a kid when I was sick? I can't believe I listened to this or watched it, but I used to watch the episodes of Maury where it was like, you are the father. That was the big one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They need that, but with these tests, you are a boy. You are a girl and the audience guesses or something. Some of these people, not this Owen guy, but some of these people, they've gotten so much surgery that truly, if I didn't know, you can't really tell.
Sometimes you can't tell. The Adam's apple is often a giveaway, but I guess sometimes they get that shaved down too. I don't know.
Shaved down? Is that a thing?
I have heard that they can shave down the Adam's apple so that you it's not as obvious
that
you're
that
a man.
Recovery? How do you
not
even,
quite as obvious
how
that you're
do
a man,
you even
but
do
you're
that
still
surgery?
A man. Very carefully. I
no,
don't
if
know.
You identify as a goat, you're a goat. Who are you to say otherwise, Mark? Stop being inconsiderate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just glad that Owen is getting locked up in the hoosegow for a long time. With such idiocy. These people are such idiots. I'm telling you. Oh, man. All right. Hey, have a great morning. I'm sure Brian Kilmeade will be coming up with the very latest on the death of Pope Francis. And, of course, we'll continue our coverage all day long here with the Annie Fry Show and Mark Reardon this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.